Hello there. Welcome to Inspired a Galaxy.
In this segment of the ORP, we discuss the artists and stories that inspired us and hope that they inspire you.
And now, we present the episode.
Spoiler alert for the creator.
All right, everyone. Today, we're going to be taking a bit of a turn and doing more of an Inspired a Galaxy kind of take here. There's a new film that is just recently out, as of our recording of this anyway, and we thought that it was going to be something that was going to be interesting to talk about, both just from a film perspective, you know, as a movie that Cassie and I were both interested in going out to see, but it also has some Star Wars ties in that it was directed by Gareth Edwards, who you might know, directed Rogue One, the Star Wars story. So today we thought we would take a few minutes and talk about The Creator.
Yeah, so The Creator, it's kind of like an alternate future in which humans and AI and those humans who are allied with the AI are at war, especially after the city of Los Angeles is supposedly nuked by the AI. But I kind of wondered when I first heard about it, I'm like, is this a false flag, you know, in the world of the movie? But we follow Joshua, who had been an intelligence officer. I don't know if it gets super specific, but
yeah, not really.
He was married and fell in love with his intended target named Maya, whose father was it Nirmata?
Nirmata, yeah.
Yeah, who supposedly created the AI, and then after the U.S. government attacks them, he believes that Maya has perished, but then the U.S. government says, like, oh, we found her. She's alive. You need to find her and find the ultimate weapon that the AI are going to use to win.
That's right. Yeah, Joshua takes the bait here that his wife Maya is still alive, and he's off with a kind of a recon military team led by Colonel Howe, played by Allison Janney, to go and recover this AI super weapon. So they get there, they open this big vault door, and it's not really a weapon. I guess it is a weapon, but it's in the embodied by the small child, Alfie, played by Madeleine Unavoyles. And then the story is basically just going to be Joshua and Alfie trying to make their way across New Asia to find where Maya is. You know, Joshua believes Maya to be alive. Alfie knows Maya to be mother, because as it turns out, Nirmata was actually Maya all along. So that is where they're heading here in the story, to see if they can reunite Joshua and Maya, reunite Alfie with Maya, and see if we can prevent any future wars.
Yeah, I think what drew me to this story was just like seeing the poster at first, and I'm like, The Creator, you know, from the director of Rogue One. I'm like, oh cool, Gareth Edwards, you know. And it wasn't connected to any established franchise. Kind of not too much marketing that I saw for this movie, but I think like hearing that this movie was shot for like $80 million, and it looks like how it does, I was like, wow, this could really be a game changer. What drew you to this movie?
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly interested in the film just from the standpoint of that it was a new kind of standalone science fiction film, which is not something we get a lot of. We had 65 that came out last year, which I enjoyed well enough, but you know, we don't get enough of these anymore. You know, pretty much anything that we go to the cinema to see, especially if it's taking up space on an IMAX screen, is going to be from some, you know, big property, right? Marvel or DC or, you know, some other kind of property that we're going. So we don't get a lot of just individual stories. So it was interesting to me from that standpoint. It was interesting to me from the science fiction aspect of it. We don't get a lot of new and interesting science fiction movies. Obviously, Gareth Edwards is a very good director. Rogue One was great. streets and wanted to see what he could do. And, you know, the trailers and stuff like that made, you know, the visuals look like they were going to be amazing. Like you, Cassia, the marketing for this was basically nil. That's how you get away with the $80 million price tag right there. But they did like a weird promotion with like the NFL or like college football or something, or they just had the like AI people like standing in the crowd. And I'm like, I don't know if that is going to do anything. And I don't know if it really helped that much, because it only cost $80 million, but 2 weeks in and it's only at about $61 million. So people need to get out and see it if it's gonna start making back on that budget. But yeah, I was excited to see it just from the standpoint that it was a new science fiction, you know, story that could go and check out, because like I said, we don't get enough of those. So I was interested in it from that standpoint.
Well, you just answered my question. Like, why hadn't I heard of this? If the only promotion they're doing involves football, like there's zero, you know, crossover with football for me. So that answers that.
Yeah, for sure. And then I want to say too, like the trailer for it, I've seen, you know, the trailer for it, you know, as we went to all the movies over the summer, you know, all the Barbenheimer and stuff, the creator trailer was playing for that. But I don't know you, and you know, we kind of just ran through the story, you know, kind of briefly. We're not going to get into like the huge like story beats of this thing, because it's still a pretty new movie. But my takeaway from the trailer was that it was going to be more of kind of like this like journey story, and it seemed almost more of like a military story. And that was just kind of different from what I was expecting in terms of the film. What about you? Was that kind of what you were expecting, or did you not even think of it like beyond that? You know, the poster looked neat, and it was Gareth Edwards, or.
I am trying to remember if I saw a trailer in full. I don't believe I really saw a trailer in full on the big screen. I think I might have seen one on YouTube, but I think what drew me was the visuals for sure. And I was like, oh, the story might not be there for me. But I mean, like in a future episode, we're going to be talking about John Carter and the quote-unquote marketing that movie had. So it can be hard to market a movie in this day and age in which you don't spoil the whole story, but like try to like find your audience, and sometimes that's an imperfect system and it doesn't always connect, you know. But I hope that this film generates a good word of mouth, because I think it's really worth seeing on the big screen. And if you can, see it on IMAX, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And visually, it does look very nice, especially with the AI characters, both kind of the human characters. You know, so you have Alfie, you have Haroon, who's played by Ken Watanabe, who's excellent in the film. Like, that design is really cool. You've probably seen them, like, in any of the promotional material, but they're kind of the AI with like the circular kind of cylinder things kind of there through the back of their skull. There's another couple of robots. There are some that have like flat heads that look like L3 from Solo. There are some with like square heads that look like, what was that, EV-99 from Jabba's Palace. So there's a couple of Star Wars looking droids there for the AI there. The film, as far as I can recall, didn't really make any sort of differentiation between the three of them, which is fine. It's not something that they had to do, but I don't remember it saying that there was any specific reason why they the three different kind of kinds looked any different. But
yeah, it is interesting for like a movie about AI. Like, a lot of the technology does kind of seem to have like analog features, which kind of does remind me of Star Wars in a way. But I guess like what I kind of thought is like there were kind of like more droid looking robots, you know, like and then you kind of have the more human looking robots with the gears in their head, which I'm like, ooh, it's a pun because the gears in their head are turning. But maybe it was just kind of like it's their evolution, you know. That's how I interpreted it, at least. But
Yeah, I suppose, I guess, in theory, if I'm making my own AI future, that you would, I guess you would have different AI things for different tasks and jobs that you're having them do. So maybe that was the thinking there. But I thought that you know, those kind of the creature design, quote unquote, was probably the best looking part of the film. This big, was it NORAD? Is that what it's called? Or Yeah,
Oh, it's called
or Nomad,
Nomad.
not NORAD. That's the actual science tracker thing. The Nomad is kind of this big, like a out of the above atmosphere kind of spaceship thing. I don't know. It's probably meant to be like 10 miles wide, kind of thing. I thought that looked really cool, and the way it would shine down, it's like laser like targeting system. I thought that was cool, and the sound design of that was cool. Most of the other like ships and stuff I thought looked pretty good. Some of the like the landscape type stuff I thought got a little fuzzy looking maybe. But one of the things that you can definitely take away is the $80 million was well spent. And the big reason for that is Gareth Edwards is the director now. We know from Rogue One, we know from this, we know from
Godzilla.
Godzilla. But it started his career as a visual effects person, visual effects supervisor. So kind of knows and has the forethought to say, if I want this to look like this, then I need to shoot it like this, and you're not working against each other. And I think that probably ends up saving you a lot of money when you turn it over to the effects houses. ILM did a lot of the work, actually. Weta, you might know from Lord of the Rings, the company there in New Zealand. Weta did a lot of the stuff like that. I'm assuming kind of the creature design and stuff like that. So I think it just had kind of a head start, having Gareth Edwards in charge of a project like this in terms of, shaving dollars off the budget.
Yeah, it's kind of finding the right fit for the job. And it's like if you're going to have a VFX story, which kind of makes sense because film is kind of meant to be a visual medium, why not have someone with VFX experience, like on the team or maybe possibly in charge? So I thought it looked great. I just was very impressed with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, visually it looked great. I liked kind of the theming here of the different like AI themes that we're talking about in the movie. I thought that the story itself was pretty thin and a little holey kind of throughout, if I will say so, for sure. It seemed like there was like a bullet point list of issues with AI, and they're like, we're just gonna we'll say all of those things and not really address any of them too much. So I thought that the story was not up to par with kind of the visual like look and feel of the movie. That's definitely kind of the shining part, at least for me, in terms of that. But the sound design, the way that it looked, the acting, the actors here, all were very excellent in this. I really loved John David Washington, who's portraying Joshua there. I loved Ken Watanabe in this, and kind of all the rest of the supporting cast did a great job, including Madeline Unavoyles, who played little Alfie there, the AI child. So I thought that there were a lot of things that were going for it, and unfortunately, I think that the story and kind of plot points of the film let me down a little bit here in this one.
I can understand that. I'm just a person who loves sci-fi and sci-fi fantasy, space fantasy, I guess. So I just really kind of found myself connecting with the characters. I'm like, is it an ultra complex story that critiques everything? Is it gonna win an Oscar for best screenplay? No, but it connected with me, and maybe it won't connect with everyone, but I guess that's okay. But I do love the cast. Like you said, John David Washington. It is so great to see him in a movie in which I'm not going deaf, like in Tenet. So,
Forgot
and
he was
Gemma
in Tenet.
Chan. Oh, what?
I said I forgot he was in Tenet.
Yeah, because I forgot because I couldn't hear anything. But yeah, Gemma Chan was also great. Would love to see her in more sci-fi. Like you said, Ken Watanabe was great. It also had Sturgill Simpson. And I have to say, Allison Janney, I'd love to see her in more like genre sci-fi stuff. And she made a good villain. And also, did you know that she plays the, maybe she's not in the current Star Tours, but she did help out with Star Tours at some point. Maybe it's still ongoing. I just haven't been to the Disney parks in a while, but She was one of the droids in that. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not know that. Yeah, Allison Janney is great. Allison Janney always plays these characters that are meant to drive you a little bit nuts, and that's exactly what she does here as Colonel Howell, who's kind of leading this team of military operatives on the hunt for Joshua here, as Joshua and Alfie are trying to make it back to Mother or Maya or Nirmata, depending on who is referencing to her there. But yeah, she was excellent in this. I guess the military is never able to quite catch up with Joshua, and you know, they end up seizing the day or the moment, I guess, so to speak. But I thought that the sound design was really good, particularly in the Nomad ship when it's targeting and it's sending it out on the big blue lasers. You kind of see that on the poster there, where it's targeting in on stuff. I thought that was really cool and sounded really great and that kind of stuff there. So, and then it, of course, you know, looked really good on the IMAX screen where I was able to see it.
Yeah, the sound design was great. I kind of expect this movie to receive nominations, if not awards, for, you know, best sound, best visual effects. And I guess, like, kind of what I was kind of thinking of is, like, maybe, like, Joshua and Alfie kind of escape, like, a lot of the situations by thinking outside of the box and with heart. Like, maybe they have the best of, like, what makes someone a human, what makes someone an AI, and they're kind of different. That was just something I thought. But I think my favorite part of this movie was the set within the temple where Maya is under the coma, and we see her, like, just how it is. It looks like a temple carved out of wood, and it's like AI robots. Did you have any standout moments?
Yeah, there were definitely a couple. And one, yeah, is the temple. The temple is really cool looking there, where, you know, spoiler, if you haven't seen the creator, you probably should have done that before listening to this. Or we're not going to get into too much of the story here. But yeah, where Maya is there under... in her coma, that set design was really cool. Kind of the exterior of it was cool. I really liked that the AI monks were wearing, you know, kind of the monk like shawls and stuff like
orange.
That I thought that looked that looked really cool. I thought that most of, like, the fighting sequences were really interesting and really well done. I liked kind of the defending of the bridge kind of set piece there, where Harun Kiwantanabe's character and some other AI beings are there kind of protecting this bridge going into that kind of more temple area, you know, to protect Alfie and stuff like that. I thought that was really good. And then kind of any of the times basically where things were exploding looked really good. And there's a lot of that. I had kind of made mention that, you know, I was expecting it to be more kind of this like walking kind of journey that these two were on, but really it was much more military driven, because he kept having these skirmishes, because Colonel Howell and her team never really seemed to lose track of Joshua, which was one of the things that I didn't really care for in the movie that much. If you have a 10-mile wide space station that can shoot missiles anywhere on the planet, and you did that at Maya at the beginning of the film, why didn't you just do it at Alfie and Joshua at some point? But I digress. Yeah, I think just for me, like, the creature design, I really like the way that the AI robots, you know, kind of looked, especially, like, the more, like, square or rectangular-headed ones, I thought looked really good. Yep.
I just wanted to say, when we get to the end, seeing what happens, I do like happy endings, but I thought it was nice that we get to see, you know, from a certain point of view, like Joshua reuniting with Maya before, you know, Nomad goes down. And I like that.
Yeah, I really also, I liked that he was able to kind of reconnect with Maya there at the end, well, at least the AI approximation of Maya. I will say I don't think that the movie did a very good job of explaining the nomad stuff and kind of how that was working, because you know we find find the AI of Maya, but we don't, like, there's never like any sort of thing about why all those AI people are there, what they're doing there, or
and
what
also
even
a
like and also a garden and why that's there. So I do think that the movie paced, it felt a little long, particularly at the end to me, but I think another like minute or two just, you know, talking about life on board the nomad might have been useful, because Alfie definitely just stumbles into this room and there's all these AI people and we don't know why they're there, what they're there for, why they're being kept there or kept alive or kept being useful. So that was kind of a head scratcher to me, but I did like then, I guess, and the reason for it is so that you set up kind of that emotional reunion there with Joshua and Maya. But I would have liked a little bit of context as to how that was possible, I guess.
Yeah, maybe in the future the military industrial complex is run on green energy and that's why the garden's there, who knows.
That's the only thing I could think of, for sure. Apparently the original like cut of this film was like 5 hours long, so maybe there will be some more supplemental material, maybe Gareth
and
Edwards
it still
will...
cost only that much money. Wow.
Well, I don't know, yeah, that, but... I don't know if the whole first 5 hour cut was, you know, fully computer realized yet or not, but
yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll have to listen to the audio commentary if that's available, you know. Did you have any final thoughts?
Kind of just in general and in closing, I kind of hinted at it and kind of got it right out there a couple of times. I didn't think that the story was that good, to be honest. I think that there were some pretty big plot holes that I had trouble kind of wrapping my head around with, but on one hand that's not great, but on the other hand I was just so excited to get a new science fiction movie and that it looked this good. So on one hand it wasn't the movie that I was hoping that it was going to be. I really was, from everything that I had seen and expected about it, that it was going to be, you know, kind of this generation's, you know, Blade Runner or Terminator 2 or Alien, something like that. And it fell short of that, well short of that for me, but I'm very happy that it exists. So don't, you know, what I just said, don't take too much into that. Just go out and see it if you have any interest in doing it, because I think that, you know, I had my own kind of struggles with it, but I'm also very happy that it exists, and I think people should go out and see it, because we need more films, you know, like this, that are telling these one-off stories and, you know, trying to expand the scope of what stories can be.
Yeah, like, even though there are some really good movies coming out right now, like Everything Everywhere All at Once and Dune and others, like, I kind of feel like right now we live in, like, the worst stage of cinema, and I was just like, huh, maybe the creator could help change the tide, like, if this costs only, like, $80 million to make, like, maybe we could get more innovative sci-fi or more innovative films of, like, different genres, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm just a Star Wars fan who, like, has kind of found it like a little hard to watch some of the current slate of offerings into that galaxy far, far away. But watching this, I was like, I don't really think there's a next George Lucas, but if there is, I'm like, maybe it's Gareth Edwards, you know? And in some ways I kind of think like the best Star Wars stories being told right now aren't actually Star Wars. And I know, like, if everything is Star Wars, that nothing is Star Wars. But I kind of saw the creator that it's a film that grapples with the questions we're only beginning to really ask now. Because it kind of talks about, like, how the rest of the world is like, we kind of like AI. And then, like, in the U.S., I think we're kind of, like, hesitant to adopt it, you know? And, like, with recent strikes happening in L.A., it kind of mirrors that situation. And I was like, the look and the visuals felt familiar, but unique enough to me. And like I said, I did like the analog touches, you know, and I was like, oh, maybe this future depicted in this film could happen, you know. And I loved and cared about the characters way more than I thought I would. Like, I did cry over the principal three, which surprised me. And if you're like me and you're always kind of complaining about like how expensive those films are to make and how crappy the VFX look in them, I would say support this movie and support other movies that are trying to change the status quo. So I guess that's my final, that's my closing thesis statement.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely important, you know, to support, you know, films that you like or films that you want to see out in the world. Because that's the only way we're going to keep getting more of those. Just to kind of reiterate and touch back on the budget, this film was in development for about 4 years, which is a long time in a world of, you know, three Marvel films a year, which is also going to kind of, you know, make budgets go higher. The faster you have to do something, you know, the more people you have to hire to do it, and that really kind of explodes those costs. You know, you look at something like Indiana Jones, it just came out, cost, you know, $300 million, and you know, there's whole sorts of reasons why budgets get to be that high, but kind of the big one is that you're paying $20 million to Harrison Ford straight out of the bat, right? That was like, that would have been like a third of the budget for this film right here. So I mean, there's a lot of different things at play here, but yeah, if, you know, Gareth Edwards can, you know, create this template for how to create films for, you know, for that price that look like this, then that is really quite the accomplishment there, you know, in my eyes. So yeah, definitely if there's a genre of film that you like and you're, you know, agitated like Cassia that there's not more of them out there, make sure you go and support these so you can keep seeing more of them in the future, hopefully. Although we might not get movies for a long time now if they don't get the strike settled, so.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess there's always books. Nah, you know, books can't strike, you know.
That's right.
And there aren't book executives to, you know, kind of do stuff. But before we, I guess we address too much of real world happenings, I guess this isn't Star Wars. So what should we say to close, Brian?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess maybe may the Alpha and Omega be with you.
That works always? For me. Always. That's right.
Inspired a Galaxy is an imprint of the ORP and can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Podcasts, as well as everywhere else that Anchor Podcasts are distributed.
And you can connect with the ORP on Twitter. It's at Old Republic Pod. And if you want to connect with me on Instagram, it's at Astro_Droid_.
And the ORP and Inspired a Galaxy podcasts Patreon can be found under www.patreon.com/Old Republic Podcast.
The Inspired a Galaxy theme was composed by Alistair Shurman. Alistair can be found at alistairsounds.wixsite.com/alistairsounds.
This episode of Inspired a Galaxy has been brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. May the Force be with you.